Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, today has been a long time coming. Hallelujah. We, you and I have been talking it up and talking it up. And of course, it's not just tonight, but I believe it's going to go on for some time. I believe that we're going to have at least several weeks out of this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, just so you know, if you came in, you noticed in my usual parking spot is not my vehicle. That's because it is not my vehicle, praise the Lord. I've got a loaner for the time being until my vehicle gets fixed. I'm not going into details about it, but praise the Lord, it'll be fixed and we'll be good. Amen? But anyways, back to the subject at hand. We're talking about being led or being Spirit-led. Glory to God. And tonight's message is called Who's in the Lead? Amen? And tonight, we're not going to be getting into the fullness of what Spirit-led is or what even it means. We're only going to be touching on part of it, and I hope that we can get through this part. But if we can't get through this part, then the next time we come, we'll finish this part. Glory to God, and may even add to it. So, you know, we're just going to go with what God has for us. But I believe that there are some things that are very beneficial in the things that the Lord has been showing me. Being Spirit-led, the first and foremost thing you need to understand is not a difficult thing. It's not hard. God is directed. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons or the children of God. And so if it was hard, then God has made it hard to be his child. And how many know that it's not good if a parent makes it hard to be their child? Amen. Now, we do have scripture that says, parents, don't make it hard for your child to be your child. Amen. But, you know, don't be overly mean to them and stuff like that. Well, God isn't doing that to us either. He hasn't made it hard. But we do need to keep things in balance. And I'm just going to tell you, probably the key word that keeps coming up in my spirit as I prepare these messages, as I've been meditating on them, as I've been thinking about them, as I've been preaching the other messages that I've been preaching, the key word is submission. Submission is an important thing. And I'm not talking about submission to a man, but I am talking about submission to God. And we're going to be talking probably about some of that. It will inevitably be woven throughout these messages. But I believe that what we have here is going to bless us indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has made us people that can that are to fellowship and to know him. Praise the Lord. But the first step to understanding Scripture is to build a foundation. We need to understand that. We never can build a house without first building a foundation. Foundations are incredibly important. A foundation that is not accurate, a foundation that is not good, the structure will not stand. It will crumble. It will fall apart. It will be compromised. We want a firm foundation. Amen. And so that's the goal. But one of the first things I wanted to start off with, I got a lot of questions in tonight's service. We are live streaming, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just say at least, you know, if we don't live stream, then, you know, if that's the way I'm led, then we'll not do that. But right now I have that leading. And so praise the Lord. If you're tuning in online, we love you. We're so glad you're with us, even online. Amen. So we are going to ask a lot of questions, and the questions, really, I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and I don't need you to answer, but what I want you to do is consider these questions, and you should consider some of these questions always. And these first questions don't specifically have anything to do with being Spirit-led, but it has everything to do with being a good student of the Word, amen, a strong Christian. If you want to grow in your faith, there is a way to do that, and this is a way we can do that, amen? So you can ask, get a lot of your answers. Listen to this. You can get a lot of your answers by asking the right questions. This goes through life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I've written down a few of them. You could probably even add to this. And if you think about it, you might add to it. But I've written down three specifically, and we're going to start with those. First question that you should ask, and this isn't just in church, but ask yourself in general, and this would help us understand the world as well, but why would someone say or do whatever they're saying and doing? Right. What would possess a person to do that? And when I mean possess, I'm not coming down on a person for doing something. I'm saying what would make a person do something, or what would inspire a person to do that? This is a question that's very important, because if we can answer this question correctly, it's going to help us go on with the rest of the questions that we're going to have. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. The second question that you should consider is, why do I like it? What's being done or said, or why do I not like it?
Yeah.
Both things. And this question, again, isn't just when somebody is preaching. It's not just when you're interacting with your boss or whatever. But this question could also be, you know, Lord, lead me in the things that you want to lead me in, right? And then you can, and when you think that you're being led, you can start asking yourself these questions as well. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so you can see they apply to a lot of areas. It's not just one thing that it's going to apply to. And then the last question that you need to ask yourself, and I try to, these questions I try to ask myself on a continual basis. And if I still don't even trust myself, I put it before the Lord, and the Lord, help me get the answer to this. And this is the thing about being Spirit-led. Let me say this before I go any further. The number one thing about being Spirit-led is faith. And what faith is, and we're kind of redefining faith around here. And what I mean by redefining faith, I'm not meaning according to the Word. We're redefining the Word and what the Word says. But we're getting back to the roots of what faith is. Faith is, in its simplest form, trust in God. Plain and simple. You know, people talk so often about using faith for this and faith for this. If you just have faith, which is trust in God, it will do you a lot of good and you'll be less confused. Amen? Again, we're making it simple. We're getting back to the basics. Praise the Lord. The third question I want to ask is, what is the outcome of following this path to the end? Amen? If I continue down this road, what is going to be the outcome of that? And try to imagine scenarios. Like, you know, it seems right, it seems good, but you know, sometimes things that seem right and seem good later on have an effect. And so we need to consider all these things as we're approaching the Word, as we're approaching people. And I think that they would be helpful to us if we do that. Amen. So often we only make decisions based on how we feel, not in what's right and wrong. Aren't you glad we have the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you know why we're so glad we have the Word of God? Because the Word of God is always truth. Regardless of how I feel today, if I wake up in a bad mood, right? Is anyone woke up in a bad mood?
Sure.
Praise the Lord. You might have today. But if you woke up in a bad mood, God's word is truth, regardless of whether you're in a bad mood or a happy mood.
That's right.
It's true whether there's COVID or not COVID. It's truth whether or not we have church or don't have church. It's truth whether it's winter or summer or spring or fall. It's truth, it's truth, it's truth. And so if we will submit to the Word of God, and there's a process in that, and sometimes it's hard. I'm not denying that. It's hard on our flesh to do so. But if we'll do so, we'll find that place where we need to be with God. Amen?
Amen.
Not making decisions based on how we feel,
right. But
what is right. Amen? Now I'm going to say one other thing. If you think that you know how to be Spirit-led, and you might, amen, I'm going to ask you, for the sake of these messages, if you want to receive something, if you want to get helped, approach this as one who doesn't know.
Yeah.
That's another thing that we can do. You know, there's nothing wrong with coming in faith, but also approaching the Word as one who doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because if you approach as one who doesn't know, then God can show you something.
Yeah.
Amen? I love that about the Word. Like, even as I've pastored for 7 years now, I've been a faithful Christian for 15 years now, right? 15 or 16 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I've been doing this for a little bit. Yeah, 16 years. And I can tell you this, praise the Lord, it always comes to me. What did I just say?
Approach
as one who doesn't know, yes. When I approach, I still come to God sometimes, and I'm like, Father, show me. If I'm wrong in the show me, and truly have worked in my heart to be the heart that can be moved.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We are going to start with our scripture, John 17:17. This is a good place for us to jump off or to jump from. John 17:17, real short scripture, but a very, very important scripture. Now notice, we were talking about being Spirit-led, but look at where I'm starting. I'm starting in discussion about the Word.
Yeah.
Sanctify them in the truth.
Yes.
Your Word is truth. Yeah. That word sanctified is an important word. It means to be made holy or to be made right. Mm-hmm. You can look at it both ways. So make holy or make them right in your truth or in the truth, your word is truth. The only way that we can be made right or stand right before the Lord is through God's truth through the Word of God. If God's Word is not abiding in us, the truth does not abide in us. Now, this is incredibly important when being Spirit-led. And this is a disconnect so often in people who think that they're Spirit-led versus people who actually are Spirit-led. Because a lot of people will just run at something, or they'll without any understanding of the Word, without the Word in them. They haven't spent any time in the Word. Maybe they just spent time in prayer. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. We can't just go to prayer. Prayer is important, but prayer is not meant to be used without the truth. And the reason is because the truth doesn't change. The truth keeps us grounded. It keeps us anchored in what God has for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what keeps us from getting goofy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
His word, we have to remember this. God's word is instruction. It's instruction in righteousness. And so if we, and that's the same thing, kind of saying the same thing, to sanctify them in the truth is to be instructed in God's righteousness. Amen. We can hear God's righteousness and think that we're being sanctified, but we're not sanctified until God's righteousness becomes part of who we are.
Right.
I've been dealing with this a lot lately as I've been considering salvation and what salvation means. You know, we believe in salvation around here. We believe in receiving Jesus for salvation. All the good stuff, amen? But I've also come to the conclusion through the Word that salvation is not just praying some prayer. But it's going forward, it's being sanctified in that truth.
Yeah.
You can pray the prayer and never do anything with it, and I would question whether or not you're really saved. Because God's word requires us to be sanctified. If it wasn't, Jesus' blood wouldn't cleanse us from sins. Right?
Yeah.
Well, what does Jesus' blood do? Cleanse us from sins. So if we continue to live in sins, or if we continue to embrace sinful things, then we're not being sanctified. We're not being helped. We have to embrace the word, even when the word is difficult, especially when the word is difficult. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. His word is instruction to our life. And if we will abide in his word, if we will live with his word as an important part of our life, then we will be able to walk through this life a lot with a lot more peace. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. In fact, this is a thing that I found. I'm starting to get to a place that's out of peace. And you know what that's like? If I'm starting to feel that, you know, whether it's anxiety or all these things, you know, this just recently, maybe 2 weeks ago, I used to deal with anxiety on a really bad scale. I mean, really bad, like to the place where I was hospitalized, heavily medicated for it and all such things. I haven't been medicated in years. Glory to God. But you know that when there's a weak, or when there's an area where the devil has got you, he's going to come back for that area.
Yeah.
So you have to be extra diligent in that area. Well, all of a sudden, I started noticing that I was starting to have anxiety about crazy things, things that didn't bother me. You know, all of a sudden, there was these certain fears that they were tangible. They would grab onto me, and I could feel it. What is the thing that sanctified me? This is what the Lord reminded me of. The thing that cleansed me before is the thing that's going to cleanse me now. And that's the word. And so I had to stand on the word. I had to stand with the word and say, Lord, this is the truth. No matter how I feel, this is the truth. That's what's going to get us through. That's what gets us beyond. That's what makes us overcomers. Amen?
Yeah.
But we have to remember, in order to overcome, you have to be someone who's facing something that you have to overcome.
Right.
You know, the Bible calls us overcomers, but we can't be overcomers without obstacles.
Right? Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know those guys that run track, or the women too, they run track. I meant guys, meant, you know, just people. The people that run track and they have the hurdles. You know what I mean? What are they called?
Obstacles.
No, what are the people that are running called? Are they hurdlers? That's what I would call them, a hurdler. I don't know if that's accurate or not. We got some track people. Are they hurdlers? Is that what you call them? That's a hard word to say, amen? I'm a hurdler. Get too really excited about it. What do you know? I'm a hurdler. But if you took those hurdles out of the picture, guess what they would not be?
Hurdlers.
They'd be runners. They'd be joggers, whatever they are, but they would not be hurdlers anymore. Amen? And so it's the same thing with obstacles. If there wasn't obstacles, we wouldn't be able to be overcomers. But thank God, I like that I'm an overcomer. Amen? I don't always like what I have to overcome, but I do like the fact that we're overcomers. And the thing that reminds me that it's all good is in the fact when I'm facing those obstacles or those hurdles, I say to myself, I am an overcomer. I know that I'm an overcomer. Praise the Lord. I go back to the Word. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we are going to get into the body of our message here, moving along quite nicely in the through the introduction. Amen. And we are going to start with the questions that I said I was going to ask, some other questions I was going to ask you. Or some questions that I'm going to put forth, amen. These aren't exactly questions, I guess. It's really more statements, but they would lead us to maybe question or whatever. I thought it was questions, but it doesn't seem as I'm reading it. So just go along with me, amen.
Amen.
We are going to start. Our foundation here tonight is not, we're not even going to get into what being led is. We're going to be focusing mostly on what being led is not, amen. What being led is not, and this is incredibly important because if we can understand this, it's going to make understanding the is a lot easier. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, the reason I bring these up, this is a timely, you know, with everything that's been going on in the world and you don't know quite what to do, this is a time to be led more than any. You know, this is a time we're going to need that leading of God. But we have to understand that though the leading of God is spiritual, it's also natural. It works within us. It works with us as we are. Amen? It works with us by what we know. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't lead in other ways, but we're going to get into all that. Amen? The first thing that what being led is not, the first thing that being led is not God said. Whoa. What do you mean, Pastor Jeff? I put that in quotation marks on my notes. You can't see that, but I'm telling you, you just have to trust me.
Yeah.
One of the most annoying things that I hear often, and I'm guilty of saying it myself, and I try really difficult or try really diligently not to do it, is saying the words, God said. God said this to me, and God said that to me, and God said this, and God said that. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I get what most people are saying, which is probably what I mean also when I hear it, but this is important to understand. Why am I going to pick on this? We are talking about some kind of semantics or whatever. Why am I going after this? The reason I'm going after this, most people when they say God said, they mean, well, I heard this in my spirit. And they say God said because that's what we're accustomed to saying.
Yeah.
But the problem with this is that when we say something like that over and over and over again, what we do is, because we have this idea in our heads that God is sovereign, God is good, God is truth, all these things, and that if God said it, he won't lie. So when we are constantly saying God said, and we're putting that on everything, what we're saying is, there's no way that what I'm going to say after that could be a lie,
sure,
because God said. And as a pastor, it's very difficult for me to help somebody who says to me, God told me this,
yeah,
or that, because as soon as you say that, then it kind of binds me because I can't be a louder voice in your head than God is.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be. No man should be. No woman should be. Praise the Lord. So we have to be careful about using this God said. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're gonna look at this more. And I just got like a scripture or two for each one of these points. 2 Corinthians 11. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I so love the Word. I so love God. It's just amazing the things he's given. The more I study it, the more amazed I am. It's just, I can't even tell you, like, I'm more of a Christian today. I feel like more of a Christian today than I did even a month ago. It's just because the God's Word is so rich and so good. Amen?
Amen.
It says here in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Now, there's a lot there, but we need to understand this. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Well, you say, well, but God said. How does that have anything to do with what God said? This is what I'm going to say about that. If you think that everything is God, then anything can be God. And the devil can therefore use anything to get to you. We have to be very, very careful at the words God said. We need to understand this. Because if we hear this all the time, listen, if I said to you, God says this, if I say this is the word of the Lord or something like that, I quote, you know, what some other religions do and say, this is the word of the Lord. What I'm saying is that God said this, so we need to believe this. We have to have reverence and honor for that. But in today's church, people have gotten so used, especially in camps like ours, people have gotten so used to everybody saying, and then God told me this, and then God told me that, and then God told me this, and God told me that. Yeah. Listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth right now. God doesn't speak that way. Right. I said he doesn't speak that way. Right. And if you are going after these things, I'm trying not to get out of order, but if you're going after these things, I'm not saying he never speaks that way. Right. I'm saying that by and large, as much as people are saying God said, he ain't saying. Right. And how do you know the end of this? Well, we have examples in the charismatic Pentecostal circles. There's a lot of modern day prophets prophesying a lot of things. When somebody prophesies something that doesn't come to pass, they are not yielding to the Spirit of God. They are yielding to devils. We need to understand that. If somebody prophesies something and it comes to pass, then it's God. More than likely. I mean, we can, you know, obviously they'll, you know, the devil can manipulate that too. But I'm saying these are some things that we can start weighing. When you got, I mean, we have people that are prophesying things like, well, President Trump is going to take back over with, it was supposed to happen in August, one person was saying, President Trump is going to take back over with the army. He's going to overthrow the Biden administration. Guess what that is? It's a false prophecy. It's meant to deceive, maybe not by the person, but it was meant to deceive by the devil. And it says here in verse 15, therefore it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They come at you like righteousness. When it says disguise, it's warning us here to get us to understand something. You know, we think that we're just going to recognize the devil when he comes up to us. We just think that when we hear a voice, we will automatically know if it's the devil or if it's not. And the Bible tells us that's not so. If he is disguised, he is meaning to try to overthrow something. He is meaning to try to fool you. And he's going to come at it in a way that will do so. Amen? So being led is not God said. Now, if you say God said and you quote the word, then you could be more on par there or more on track there. Amen? So, but what I'm talking about specifically is when people just claim God said. Amen? Yeah. But with that, we have to also understand that every voice we hear, even if it sounds good, does not make it God. Right. Even if it's something that sounds that like what you've been praying for or what you've been, whatever, that's not necessarily God. We have a way of weighing whether or not something is truth or not, and that thing is called the word. When we depart from the word, we depart into error, and we can be lost that way. Now, maybe we won't completely be lost in the sense that we will not go to heaven, but we certainly can be lost to the point where we don't know what we're actually doing here and leading other people astray. And these are things that we need to take seriously. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so knowing this, we have to understand that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. That should not make us fear, because God has given us his word that we could be, that we could have some surety. You know what else he's given us? He's given us pastors. Yes. I am convinced of this, and I am convinced of it more since I'm a pastor, that the most important gift that we have been given in the ministry offices is that of the pastor. Yes. Every person needs a pastor. Yes. I say that knowing full well that I have a pastor. Yes. I submit to my pastor. I submit things to my pastor. I often take things to my pastor and say that seem to be new to me. And say, Pastor, what do you think of this? This is something that's on my heart, or this is something I'm seeing in the Word. And I'm surprised that a lot of times because, and I believe it's because I have a heart to be right.
Yeah.
Not just, you gotta understand, I don't even want what I want anymore. I want to be right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've stopped even wanting what, you can ask my wife. I mean, it's literally like that. Like, I'm not saying I don't ever desire anything, but I just know that, like, if it's going to impede me or slow me down, I don't even want it. Amen?
Yeah.
So I started putting things, I put things before my pastor, and I have for years. I've been submitted in those areas. And because I've been submitted in that area, God can speak to me. Now, listen, God, all Christians should get to a place where God is speaking to them about things in the sense that he is leading them or guiding them into certain things in throughout your life that you don't necessarily need to ask somebody every single time.
Right.
That should be the goal. But until we get to a place through submission of the words, to submission to authority, to doing the things that God has told us to do, until we get to that place, we're going to have a hard time listening. You know, recently I was with a man who was in a mental institution, and he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I'm sitting there talking to him, and I'm trying to help him, trying to see if I can help him, because there are some people that you can't help, and it depends mostly on them. But as I'm sitting there talking to this man, the one thing that I kept thinking about is, dear Jesus, how could you ever teach somebody who hears voices, how could you ever teach them to be led by the inward witness? And the only way that you could do that is if they were fully willing to submit to somebody else, because they would constantly need somebody to be helping them do that. Now, that is not God's plan, and I believe that that could have been curtailed had that person connected much earlier. But sometimes we go through life and we build things up to a place, we can get things so out of hand or so out of order that we can't really come back from it. We become invalids, and this is a good thing to understand. This is why submission is so important. But this is also why a local pastor, pastor is so important.
Yeah.
One thing that pastors do, excuse me, got a little frog in my throat. One thing that pastors do is they're with the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a heart for the people.
Right.
I have a heart for my people.
Yeah.
I can't explain it any way else. If my people are hurting, I hurt. I feel it. In fact, there's been some things going on, and I've been carrying them for weeks. They've just been pressing on me and pressing on me and pressing on me. And I know that it's not even my thing, but it's just the truth. It's just what happens as a pastor, because you so love the people. But the other thing that also is can be difficult for a pastor is the understanding that you can't make people do what they ought to do. And so when you're in that situation, you have to leave it before God. But the reason I'm saying all this is to get you to understand that your pastor is with you.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a pastor.
That's right.
A pastor is not a traveling minister. You know, there's many, praise the Lord, there's many wonderful ministers that travel.
Yeah.
But to be a true pastor, you're not somewhere else half the year, three quarters of the year.
Right.
That they're watching over their flock, because that's literally what a pastor does.
Yes.
Everybody needs to learn how to submit underneath a pastor. You know, blessings in our life, God has designed it to bless us. He has designed it to keep us stable, to keep us help. And that's another thing with this being led, is when we submit in the local church, when we together around a body of believers that are going in the same direction and believe the same sort of things, it can help us weed out those things, because you don't always hear right. And until you get really good at hearing, who was really good at hearing? Jesus was.
Yeah.
When everything Jesus did was effective because he was really good at hearing.
Yeah.
I believe that he's opened that door for all of us to get to that place, but we have a desire. But you notice this. This is what I think is really interesting about Jesus, and I think it can be answered right here. A lot of people, why did it take so long for Jesus to get in ministry? He didn't get into ministry until he was about 30, and he only was in ministry for 3 years or so, or 27. I can't remember in that area, but he was, it was 3 years or so, but he was a little bit later on. Wasn't when he was 18. Surely he was the Son of God then.
Right.
Why was it? Because Jesus had to go through the same process that we did.
Yeah.
The Bible says that he was in all points tempted as we were. So he had to be tempted to be led astray. And that tempting had to come to him many, many times, I'm sure. Amen? But he had to get to a place where he was solid enough in his faith that everything he did was going to be effective. God is dealing with the same thing or doing the same thing with us. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get on to the second point here. Being led is not a feeling. Let's turn over to Luke 9, verse 55. And we've recently heard this, but it seemed right to bring it up again. Amen? Luke 9, 55. He turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of." Now, I did some studying for your sakes here today. The word spirit. It's sometimes used to refer to a way which emphasizes a personality and a character. Okay? So a personality and character. What personality you are of, what character you are of. The rational spirit, the power by which human beings feel, think, and decide. Okay? Praise the Lord. Humans make decisions often based on opinions, thoughts, feelings, and desires. They allow feelings, they allow their thoughts, they allow their desires to become their leading. He says, you don't know what spirit you are of. In this case, they were being led to do something wrong, and Jesus was rebuking them for it. But the same thing goes with us. That spirit is talking about the character, the personality which we are. If we can't discern what spirit we are of, we're in a lot of trouble. Yeah. If we can't discern whether something is godly or not godly, we're in a lot of trouble. Yeah. Amen. This is the realm of feelings, and feelings is not a way to be led. Feelings is, oh, I feel this way. It feels really good. It feels right. Remember, Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Yeah. This feels like what I should do. We don't need what you feel, because what you feel, and this is one of the reasons why God does not lead by feelings, is because feelings are alterable very easily, yeah. Right? Yeah. You can come in here smiling and happy at me, and I slap you in the face, and you're going to leave with a different feeling towards me. Amen? Yeah. But that feeling should not drive you. Now, that feeling may make you feel something, and certainly you feel it, but that feeling should not make you act towards me outside. Your character. You know, I love that saying that I recently read in, I think it was by Matthew Henry, where he said that, a quarrel only starts with the second blow. So a fight can't happen if you don't allow it to happen. And so this, you know, there's things in yielding and stuff like that. And yes, is there a time to fight? There are times where you should, you know, where you can fight and stuff like that. I get that. I'm not saying that or taking that away. But the idea is that we shouldn't be so just walking around guns blazing. You know, I hear these stories all the time. You hear crimes of passion or things of passion where people like, I'm licensed to carry a firearm, concealed carry a firearm. But one of the things that I know about that, one of the things in the training that teaches you is that if you pull that gun out, the only reason you should be pulling it out is number one, because there's no other option. And number two, because you absolutely intend on using it. It should never be a threat. It should never be, you know, anything like that. Like, you're using it in the most extreme circumstances, basically what that is. But every once in a while, you hear somebody who gets a little too free with their, because of their feelings. They're led by their feelings and their emotions. And so we cannot follow our feelings and our emotions and expect them to lead us to anywhere, because the devil manipulates those. How does he manipulate those? He presses the buttons. Yes, yes. Have you ever had somebody having a good day and somebody comes up to you and you know that they're full of Satan? They come up to you and they start pressing that button. They start dancing on your last nerve. What is that? That's Satan trying to get you to act like you shouldn't. He's trying to get you to step away from that peace of God. And it's real easy to fall into that, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Every single time I think I just about have this conquered, I am presented with a new opportunity to fail. Amen. Praise the Lord. But see, the thing is we are not trying to, we are not expecting perfection. God is not expecting perfection.
Right.
But he is expecting willingness and obedience. And so if we know that we're doing it, then we need to correct it. And if we need to, you know, repent for it and try to turn and, you know, those things. But we have to understand these things about the Spirit. The Spirit of a thing, you don't know what spirit you are of. Folks, I could dance on this scripture for a week. I mean, this scripture is so important because so many in the Christian world today are acting based on feelings. They're not acting on the leading. In fact, I was just recently presented with a situation like this. There was somebody that was talking, and they were talking about how the Lord was leading them to fight certain things politically. Now, some of you might be sitting there, because we've been talking about these kinds of things a lot, you might be sitting there thinking, that's wrong, and you might be thinking it because you've heard it a lot. But the truth of the matter is, that's not right. It is not. God, Jesus did not call us to fight things politically. Now, does that mean that this nation was birthed on a bunch of heathens that didn't follow God? I don't believe so. You remember, there are extremes to things, right?
Yeah.
There are times where there's going to be where God is going to use certain things to do something. There's times where he will use visions. There's times where he'll use dreams. There's times where he will speak to you audibly, and you can say, "God said," amen. There will be those times, but those times are few and far between. We have to live like Jesus lived, and primarily Jesus didn't even deal with that, and he lived in one of the most evil governments there was. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, this next one I am going to love. Turn with me to Matthew 16:4. We're getting help here tonight. Matthew 16:4. The third thing that being led is not. Praise God. Are you ready?
Yes.
Being led is not signs. Being led is not signs. I cannot tell you how many Christians in our camp, outside our camp, it doesn't matter, are led by signs. I saw a cloud and it was shaped like this, and so I knew I had to go eat a hot dog. Jesus told me through the shape of the hot dog cloud. People say stuff like that all the time. I saw this, and so it must mean this. I saw a bird, and so it must mean that Grandpa is okay. Do you see what I'm saying? Signs. Praise the Lord. What does the Bible say about signs? Matthew 16:4. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. What I want to focus on is an evil and adulterous generation seeks signs. I was walking down the street, and then all of a sudden somebody bumped into me just this way. And I was right at that time, I was thinking about angels. So that must have been an angel. And they were probably, I mean, people concoct a lot of crazy things. But that is not God. God does not lead by signs.
Right.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about discerning the signs. Yeah, he said you'll be able to discern the signs. There'll be signs coming. And what Jesus was talking about that is that when you see certain things happening, that is a sign of the times. But that doesn't mean run out and go do this or that. Our leading is different than signs. Praise the Lord. God isn't leading you by clouds.
Hallelujah.
He isn't leading you by the weather patterns changing suddenly. You know, I think about this all the time. You know, it's like, you're having a funeral and someone you loved has passed. And that's wonderful, especially if they've gone on to be with the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing when they do that. But what happens? It was a cloud day, and then we got to the gravesite. And then all of a sudden the clouds opened up and the sun shone through. And surely that was Grandma looking down on us. It wasn't Grandma looking down on you. They're not signs. God doesn't work that way. And certainly Grandma doesn't have the power to part clouds and make the sunshine on you. Amen? In fact, Grandma might not even be thinking about you right now because Grandma is so raptured with the Lord that that's what her focus is. We have to understand, in the presence of God, we forget everything else. In the presence of God, you know, when Stephen was in the presence of God, he forgot he was being stoned. He looked up to heaven and that's where he was. I believe that with all my heart. You know, in the presence of the Lord. In fact, Jesus, the most terrible thing that happened to Jesus on the cross was the Lord turned his back on him. And in that place, it was like the first time he'd ever experienced that. And it was awful. But so we understand God is not leading by signs. We have to stop being Christians. You cannot believe this or you can believe that. Believe it. But I'm going to just tell you the truth. If you insist on going down this road of things, you will be deceived. You will open the door for the devil to get you. And he's looking to get you. Why? Because he doesn't like you and he doesn't like us. And he wants to get you off, you know, signs. Everywhere there's signs. Messing up the scenery. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know. Yeah, aging myself. Amen. Hallelujah. We're moving along nicely, but these are important things. And this is interesting because, you know, I so want to get into being led, but we can't get into being led until we get out of us the wrong thinking. Yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, I was talking to some pastors today and I said, you know, that I've spent too much time just convincing people that God is good. And I went to the Lord and I finally was like, Lord, at some point we have to leave this tree. Yeah. You know, if you've been here for a year and I have to convince you God is good, you haven't listened for a year. Right. If you've been here for 5 years and you still have to tell you God is good, you haven't listened for 5 years. Right. And that's frustrating. We don't need to be people like that. The word is meant to change us, but it won't change us if we don't do something with it. The word doesn't change you unless you do something with it. Prayer isn't going to save what the word of God was meant to change. I said prayer is not going to save what the word of God is meant to change. The Bible says don't sin. You can't pray, Lord, make me not sin. The Bible says you don't sin. That's not a valid prayer. It's not a prayer that will be answered. Now, you can say, Lord, I'm struggling in this. Can you help me with this? Of course, God will help me. Help you. Amen. Yeah. But he isn't going to make you not sin. Right. That is left to humans. That would be violating his promise of free will. Yeah. Okay. You guys ready for the fourth thing?
Yes.
Oh, this one's real good. Turn with me to 1 John 2:20. I think this is my wife's favorite verse. Or one of them, anyways. Just in case you wanted to know, if you wanted to make her a doily with a verse on it, this is the verse that you will put on it. Don't make her a doily. I'm sure your doilies are nice. Keep them to yourself. Just kidding. That's a joke. Just keep your doilies to yourself. That should be a new Christian phrase we can use when we're mad at someone. Keep your doilies to yourself. You heard it here first. Are you ready for the big one?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Say, I'm ready, Pastor Jeff.
I'm ready.
Glory to God. I just want to hear you say it. Being led is not dreams, is not visions, it is not prophets.
Wow.
Let me say this again. Being led is not dreams, it is not visions, and it is not prophets. Dreams and visions, and what we are talking about here is the normal leading of God. Dreams and visions are, I'm going to talk with them specifically first. Dreams and visions are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
When God has to lead, when he has to lead for a specific occurrence, when something major is about to happen, and God has to get something over, he may lead by a dream or a vision then. But it is going to be very, 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 very rare. And what I mean rare, I'm not talking weekly. I'm not talking monthly. I'm talking about, I have had visions from the Lord, and I mean maybe a dozen in my entire life at the most. And I'm just throwing that number out there. The most in my entire life. Praise the Lord. And I've had a lot of spiritual experiences. Praise God. I also threw prophets in here because we are not meant to be led by prophets. Prophets are important.
Yeah.
And if God gives us a dream or a vision, that's important. These things are important, but these things are not meant to lead us. Our daily walk, our daily life is not meant to be walked out by having these crazy supernatural experiences. That's not what God is supposed to. Some people, I have seen so many people do this. Well, I got to get before the prophet to see what the prophet says.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, I think two real prophecies that Reverend Greer has prophesied over me. There's only two that I even remember, okay? And what I mean is like sat there and specifically spoke over me as a prophet of God. And each one of them has either come to pass or is in the process of coming to pass. But it witnessed to my heart. I knew exactly, or I shouldn't say I knew exactly, because I didn't always know exactly what it was about, but the witness was there that it was God, and that I knew as I walked it out, these things did. And they were, I will say this, that they were both vague enough that I had to know something about God to even know if I was walking them out.
Right.
Amen? We are not meant to be led by prophets. Prophets is it's an office, and I honestly believe this. People may disagree with me. I don't put a lot of stock in a lot of prophets. Because God, when there's a trusted prophet, that's one thing. But there's a lot of people that claim to be prophets, and I'm not so sure. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As a pastor, I have had prophecy work in my ministry many times. Almost every single time I preach, in fact, prophecy in some form or another operates as I'm preaching. Sometimes you may know it, sometimes you may not, but I often know when it is. But I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. Prophecy is something God has given us. It's something that God has helped us with to help us through life. Actually, the word of God, as it's being preached, should be preached prophetically, in the sense that that the message should come based on the needs of the church and what people are going through and what's going on and all these things. And so it came at the right time. Have you ever said that? You're like, man, I am so glad I was here for that message. You spoke right to me. That was prophecy. That's as simple as prophecy is. But we are not meant to be led by prophets. In the Old Testament, they were a different kind of prophet, and people were led by prophets because they didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. But if we are yielding ourselves just to prophets, what we are doing is we're essentially going to God and saying, your spirit is not enough for me. I need prophecy. I need prophets. You remember I recently told you the story. When I was struggling with some things and I went to the Lord, I was just standing there. I wasn't even going to the Lord. I was just saying, kind of in my back room there, as I was worrying about these things, and I was going, what? Who should I call? Who should I call? Who should I ask? You remember when I told you about this? And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I heard in my spirit. I just said God spoke to me. I fully believe that it was. And the reason that I can back that up is I can at least back it up with Scripture.
Yeah.
So even if it wasn't God, it was the devil helping me through Scripture, which doesn't sound right. I heard in my spirit very clearly. I heard, why don't you ask me? Very clearly, why don't you ask me? Amen. And so I did. And I started getting my answers. I started getting my help. Amen. It does not mean that we throw out, people who are around us. It doesn't mean that if somebody is a true prophet that we don't look at them and just say, well, you're not a prophet. Pastor Jeff told me I'm not, don't even talk. That's not it. But there's way too many sidewalk prophets. There's way too many people going around prophesying, and it's just kind of hit and miss. It's here or there. It's like Reverend Greer, I think, said this recently when we were with him, and I loved it. He said, anybody who prophesies what the outcome of the election is going to be, it's a 50-50 chance anyways. So, if they got it, then they, in generally, people who prophesy those things, when they prophesy, if they're right, they talk about how right I was. But if they miss it, they come up with some reason why it didn't come to pass that way or whatever. Listen, if you got to start backtracking on your prophecy, you better check on your prophecy. Amen. But God is not leading according to these things. He's not leading according to, and we didn't even get to the scripture yet. 1 John 2:20. Look at this. This is New Testament. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Or you know all. I'm quoting from I was studying this out today. I was reading it and this is a thing that you can do. You get something so used to saying something a certain way.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for but you know, you all know. And that's what in the Greek that it says. You have anointing from the Holy One and you all know. So we should know the anointing. And this is interesting. I'm going to read. Do you mind if I read to you a little bit? This is from Weist Word Studies in the Greek New Testament. These are some of the things I've been studying. And this is very good. It says, the New Testament priest, in parentheses, the believer, because that's what the New Testament priest is the believer, is anointed with the Spirit just once when he is inducted into his office as a priest when he is saved. So when you are saved, you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. This anointing is only potential. That is, in itself, it offers no help to the believer. The help the saint receives from the Spirit is through the fullness or control of the Spirit, which control is consequent upon his yieldness and trust. Yeah. So in other words, the anointing only comes, it only helps or benefits the believer as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Or you yield your control, because he will not take control of you unless you yield it. The devil is different. The devil will try to get control of you anywhere he can. But God only will as you yield. If you are not yielded to the word of God, if you are not yielded to the truth, then you are not yielding to his Spirit.
Right.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. If you are not yielding to the word of God, if you are not yielding to his truth, you are not yielding to his Spirit. So if you're getting things from the Spirit, how do I know this? We see this all the time. People who are living a life of debauched sin, they're just out there, they're living a sinful life, and they start talking about their leadings from the Lord. What do we know? They're not being led. How do we know that? They can't be, because they're yielding to other spirits. You can't yield. Jesus told us this. You cannot yield to God and another spirit or the devil at the same time.
Yeah.
Whoever you're yielding to is going to be your master. Yeah. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is so often the truth. I saw this in my own life. As I was learning, as I was being brought up, and I was dealing with things like offense and stuff, and dealing with, you know, responding wrong to offense, what would happen is I would start yielding to the offense, which is, there's nothing wrong with offense. Offense is a natural, perfectly natural thing. All of us will deal with it. But what we do with it does matter. And as I yielded to the offense, what I was doing is I was yielding to the wrong spirit. As I yield to the wrong spirit, I could not hear the Holy Spirit. And as I could not hear the Holy Spirit, I could not be directed right. Therefore, every decision, or just about every decision I made, was being skewed by the wrong spirit. You don't know what spirit you are of. Why did Jesus say that? Because the disciples were doing the exact same thing. Or Peter said to Jesus, I will be with you. I will go all the way to the death for you. And he said, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. Now, when Peter said that, he was astonished when Jesus said that.
Yeah.
He did not think that would happen.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what happened. And why? Because he was yielded in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
the anointing is for the purpose of placing the Holy Spirit in a position where he can be of service to the believer, namely in the saint's inner being. From his position in the believer, the Spirit performs all his office work for him. Now, I want to read this other part, because I did cut some stuff out because there was a lot there. That is, as a result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the saints are given the ability to know God's truth. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I wrote this down. Dramatic manifestations only happen occasionally, and usually when God is going to do a dramatic thing.
Yeah.
If somebody, you know, Jesus appears to somebody out of the, you know, and it is going to, he appears to somebody and there's some major thing, he is doing so for the purpose of getting something major over or stopping something or whatever. Something big is going to happen. Manifestations of the Spirit, even through the prophet. I learned this about prophecy as I was being raised up, and I'm so glad I did, because, prophecy is exciting.
Yeah.
When When you know a prophet's in town, you want a prophecy. When you get called up front, you want them to speak over you. You want them to say something over you. But I was always taught this, and I believe it to be true, that whenever God speaks to you through a prophet or through another major way, it's because something major is coming that you are going to need something to hold on to keep you from falling. Yeah. Amen? It is an anchor to your soul. So it's better for us if we don't hear from a prophet. It's better for us if we don't have a vision. It's better for us if we don't have a dream. Because if we can avoid those things, it means destruction isn't imminent, and I'm going to need something to hold on to. Now, you know, there's hurricanes going on down south like crazy, right? And we have some family that are down there, and this family has a boat. You know where they are not right now? They're not on the boat. The boat is tied down, and the post that I saw said specifically this: we hope that it's in one piece when we come back.
Yeah.
Amen? They're not going to ride that storm out. Now, potentially they could and be safe and or make it, but they know that it's dangerous, so they're getting away from it. Amen? The same thing is with this stuff, folks. You know, if God is speaking to us, if he's truly speaking to us through visions, through dreams, through prophets, through other methods, then there's going to be major things happening. The most spiritual people I know are not in constant danger. Not constantly with all this, you know. Now, sometimes the prophetic office, it works differently, and I'm not going to pretend to know all about that because I don't know all about that. But I do know this. I don't believe that there is a plethora of or an abundance of prophets running around, true godly prophets. I don't believe so. And the reason I don't believe so is I'm going to tell you right now, and I believe I can back this up with the word. You might disagree with me, but the reason I don't believe so is because the New Testament, the focus of the New Testament is being Spirit-led, being submitted, but being Spirit-led. That's the focus of the New Testament. And we're going to be getting into some of that stuff as we go forward, as we get into some of the other things with being led. And I do have a few more scriptures I might try to get to today. But as we get into some of those other things, we're going to see how that was in manifestation. You know what's interesting about it, though? Jesus doesn't talk about an abundance of dreams, visions, or prophetic leadings. There seems to be he knew. He took the time to separate himself, and there was times where he knew. But I believe that he was doing exactly what he was telling us he was doing, teaching us how we're to operate. You know, you even see that with the apostles, that there was an abundance of these things. And again, we don't just say that they never exist. I'm not saying that. But we have to keep things in the proper order. If we don't, we're just being deceived. And the thing about this, the thing that's tantalizing about this, is it's exciting when we have experience.
Yeah.
Humans are experience-based people. They want experience.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Even when it's bad experience, they want the experience until they realize it's bad experience, and then they don't want to experience it anymore. Amen. Yeah. Marriage is a lot like that, right? Marriage, when it's puffed up, when it's in its simplest form, I just, ooh, I love you, you love me, we're pretty, we like each other, glory to God, you know, and this is wonderful. That's an exciting time.
Yeah.
But there comes a time that's not so exciting.
Right.
3 a.m. when a baby's crying or a diaper needs to be changed. Or when you've been up for days, you know, or the other person's sick or something like that, you know, all these different things, or injured or something like that. I remember my wife, when Ezra was, when she was pregnant for Ezra, had to go on bed rest the last, few weeks or whatever? From 26 weeks on, you were on bed rest? That was that long.
I got off of it.
Oh, yeah, got off of it, yeah. But she was on it for a while anyways.
Yeah.
And I tried to make up the slack, and I realized how much slack is left when she isn't doing nothing. I'm just going to tell you, this woman constantly is doing something, but when she's doing nothing, there's a lot of slack. I'm like, we don't do that much around here, kids. I'm just telling you the truth. But I was doing laundry and trying to keep up on the laundry and stuff like that. And I just had it on the dining room table. That's as far as it got. That's as good as I could do. I tried. Yeah, your dining room table. Praise the Lord. Picture that full laundry. That was that time. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Maybe what you could do is you could go and just dump all your laundry on there, take a picture so we can have a visual for next week. Amen. Gloria. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. So I didn't realize, I got some really good stuff to get in here. Do you guys want a few more minutes or you want, I mean, I know that's, there's some, because this is getting to some, this is past the, what the being led is not. But it is something that he won't lead you into. And this, I thought this was important. Amen. He will not lead you into temptation. Turn real quick to Matthew 6:9. Now, I never saw this before until I was preparing this message, and I believe that the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. This is Matthew 6:9, of course, is the Lord's Prayer, what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And this really is all about being led by the Spirit. It's so good. It's so good. Amen. It says here, pray then in this way, Jesus said, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we start to, how's this being spirit led? Well, first of all, this is bringing praise and glory to God. This is showing your trust in him. Right. Amen. That's what it is. But it's also seeking first the kingdom of God. Right. And this is another aspect of being led that you can't do. If you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, you're going to have a hard time being led. Yeah. Right. If the kingdom of God is not important to you, or if it's not high on your priority list, listen, we have to get to Christians. We should get to a place very quickly as Christians where the kingdom of God is at the top of our priority list. Yeah. If you're newer or you just came in, then being, you know, a little bit down is okay. But just so you know, it's got to come up. Yeah. Yeah. But there's so many Christians today where the priority is not the kingdom of God. The first and foremost should be the kingdom of God. And so this is exactly what, you know, I'm not saying that you can't be led if you're not, or somebody's never is, but you're going to have a hard time understanding some of the leading if your heart isn't with God. Amen? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. And of course, I preached this not too long ago, and I just want to recap it for you in case you didn't remember. But remember, this daily bread, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, it literally is saying, give us, because we don't have to, Jesus tells us a little bit later in chapter, you know, in the next chapter, he tells us, or not even the next chapter, the end of this chapter, Jesus tells us not to worry our daily bread. So why would he tell us to pray about our daily bread if he told us not to worry about our daily bread? Jesus contradicting himself. Our bread is the bread of life. The word of God. Amen. And so to give us our daily bread is to give us our daily instruction in the word. Lord, teach us in your word. But this can only happen if you're in his word. You can't be led if you're not in his word. Not by God. You can be led, but it won't be by God. Give us today our daily bread. The word should be daily in our lives. Amen? Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, literally, God is not going to lead us into temptation. Amen? God doesn't want us to be in a place where we're going to stumble. And so the understanding here is not that God is, it really is, do not let us be led into temptation. Don't let us follow after that path. I thought I had written it down, but I guess I didn't. I was just studying it. But, you know, literally it's, don't let us be led into temptation, but keep us from evil. You know, help us, direct us in the right path, and which is what he's eager to do. But again, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit in order for him to direct you. If you don't, you won't go. Amen. And so God is not leading us into temptation. The reason this scripture is in here in the temptation, I want you to understand is, you know, God is not going to direct an alcoholic to go witness to at a bar. I just don't believe it. Why? Because if it says do not lead us into temptation, the idea is that God isn't going to lead you into temptation. Amen. And we know this, you know, we read James recently where James said that God neither tempts nor is tempted. You know, he doesn't tempt with evil, nor is he tempted by evil. And so we understand that in James 1, and that's important. But God isn't going to lead. If you've been Oh, if you've been struggling in a certain area of your life, God probably isn't going to lead you that way. You understand? Like, and I think back to that person I was talking about who was sick in the mental hospital. You know, there's certain things that God can get to him, and certain things that will be hindered, because until that thing is dealt with or gone, whatever it is, until that thing is dealt with or gone, he isn't going to be able to, that person isn't going to be able to get into the fullness of that. Amen. And so these are just some things that we need to understand. You know, God isn't tempting us. He isn't going to bring us into a place. You know, some people will be like, oh, I was led here, but then I ended up sinning. No, you weren't. You know what I mean? God didn't lead you someplace for you to sin. Now, God may have led you someplace and then you decided to sin, but that's because you weren't being led by the Spirit. You were being led by the flesh. Yeah. You know, and there is a big difference in the two of those things. And so that's just a good, I think that's a good jumping off point, probably a good, a good place for us to, I think we're gonna stop there tonight. What's that? Dismount. As we're gonna disconnect from this, because God has I think that there's more for us in these things, but that just gives us a good taste of what to start with. What being led is not. You can actually, you say, well, I don't fully know how to be led, and you know, and I want to get there. But I can tell you this: that just taking these things, if you took notes, great. If not, listen to the sermon again and take notes. But just doing and putting some of these things to practice is going to make things clearer for you. When you start taking away the negative aspect of things, the positive always comes through. Amen? And it'll be clearer for you. But have a heart for God. Have a heart to be led. Have a heart to know what He wants you to do. And as we do these things, we're going to be a more perfect church, what God desires us. Amen?